All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't...
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frown, would you
please... Jisuhaip in the wall. Mita hioto. Subtitle. Zip it.
I'm just trying
zip.
To...
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want you... Stop.
Zip it. This... Zip it.
Oh,
zip it.
You know...
Zip it.
You're like a child.
Zip it.
Talking... If you... Just... One time.
22-minute podcast. 22-minute podcast. Don't wanna take up much of your time. Just gonna read some headlines. Some stuff.
Welcome to the 22-minute podcast. My name is Wes Evertson. Today is Wednesday. Crevasse day.
Crevasse!
That's where I'm sitting, right in that cut.
That cute.
Right in that crevasse. You know?
Break out your Esrvik. Put out your nice Voss.
Esrvik?
Crevasse backwards.
Thank you. Yes, we did create our own name for it. It's an Esrvik. Because I still challenge James to look up and tell me that there's another name for it. Because I couldn't find one.
Listen, James, I'm not going to lie. I also spent about a good 20 minutes trying to find anything. And Voss stand is... Was it?
Well, the flower stand, Voss stand, mm-hmm. like you're kind of limited to what you put on the goddamn
right.
stand. It's just
whatever
a stand.
You put on it is that stand. Yeah,
yeah, that's it's unfortunate. I wish
I'm gonna tell y'all during this show what it's called.
Can't wait.
I appreciate it. My neck kind of hurts, so I'm gonna
I would come back up.
I'm gonna quit
sure.
the bit. but it is crevasse day, and here I come. Okay, all right.
Ooh, he came.
Ooh, careful now. How can't cuss yet. It's got to be 5 minutes in. I think we're not trying to monetize
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
we got
yeah.
no. We got no viewers.
I can't say come.
No, I said careful. I mean,
oh,
cum's fine.
God. Okay, cum is fine.
Like cum shot? Sorry. Yeah. Tim Robbins, everybody. Check him out. This is the late tour, so we can say whatever the hell we want. Like cum shot? Just his meekness.
So good.
His meekness, you know? Like, he knows what he's doing.
I'm, like, really disappointed that he didn't get more on SNL, but,
yeah,
like, I'm
yeah,
also,
yeah.
like... happy that he was able to get Detroiters, and I think he should leave, and everything else that's come since
it
then.
It does show you, though, that, like, I guess sometimes, historically, over the last 50 years, Lorne, SNL.
SNL.
they've decided, like, to let some weirdness through and, uh-huh. like, really let that shine. But, I mean, the last time I feel like they really did that was Kyle Mooney's first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And even then, they kind of cut back on
yeah.
it while because he's still there, is he not?
No. He's
no. Okay,
it's been a few years.
Good for him.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I stopped whenever they had Trump and Musk on.
Yeah,
even because I
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. It's just there's just a certain point where these political or these people are too political.
Yeah, I feel like I always thought Will Forte also had that same level of weird. And
yeah,
so I was excited to see that with.
With old Tim.
Yeah, Timmy.
Yeah, Will Forte's hilarious and he is weird. You nailed it.
Yeah.
He's both of those things.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, speaking of Tim's.
Oh, speaking of Tim's, man. On this day in his okay, well. On this day in the year seriously, what a goddamn rabbit hole I could start screaming about right now. On this day in the year 2001, Timothy McVeigh is executed.
Yay!
The question we now have to pose to ourselves and to our fellow man and woman, is 24 years later, how do you feel about it?
Oh, sure.
Because I feel the same that I would have felt back then. He's a domestic terrorist murderer. Mass murderer.
He's a terrorizer.
He's a piece of shit.
He's a terrorizer.
You know, ultimately, it's someone like Timothy McVeigh who commits mass murder for political reasons, who, in my opinion, is just dumber, but no better than Hitler.
Sure.
Like, Hitler was just, unfortunately, smart enough, clever enough, whatever, you know, we don't need to have connotations.
Right, right.
He just was able to put a thought fucking together and sustain it long enough to convince other people and then to commit mass murder on a much heavier scale, which is horrifying, of course.
I think McVeigh was a slightly better painter.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. He could probably maybe he liked doing self portraits. You know, We'll find a bunker one day full of beautiful, beautiful abstract work from Timothy McVeigh. But no, but Timothy McVeigh, if given the opportunity and if he had the wherewithal and he had the means and to facilitate mass murder on the scale that would be considered genocide, he would have done it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's no different. The political, again, I'm not going to scream about it, but Timothy McVeigh is now the middle, as far as where we are in history, of a story that started with shit like the Turner Diaries.
Yeah.
Really, civil rights and people just getting all huffy and puffy and trying to instigate race war since this country's foundation.
Yeah.
So Timothy McVeigh is the result of a white supremacist country that pretends not to be. And I didn't yell, did I?
No, you didn't.
But I don't think I made anybody happy.
No, it's okay, though. It's crevasse day, baby.
I know, but I don't like living in a white supremacist
yeah,
country.
Yeah, I don't either.
Get your head out of your crevasse.
Hey, nailed it. Nice.
Okay.
Great job.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dow on this day in music history. What is this? Okay. Atmosphere name mm-hmm. sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
On this day in the year 2002, Atmosphere's second studio album, God Loves Ugly, with the titular track, God Loves Ugly. I know Atmosphere's name.
We've talked about Atmosphere Report on the pod.
Okay.
And I think that's maybe why. I definitely think it's worth a listen for you, for sure.
Okay.
But this one, shout out to my boy Jarbo. This is his favorite record.
Jarbs. His favorite record?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I'll definitely check it out. If it's somebody's favorite record,
give us a whirl, baby.
Yeah, you gotta.
That's true.
Like, I don't think anybody's actually coming to me or you or anybody. They're not out in the world going. You know what my favorite record is? Homegrown, who was on. What are these flies?
Get out of here, y'all.
I hate it.
Oh, you heard that we got video? You want to come in here and
weird
slop it
what
up?
What is the deal?
Ah.
Slop
this
it up,
this isn't generally
baby.
An issue, guys. I don't live
so
in a slum.
Confused.
I mean, what would you consider a slum? I don't know. Anyway, let's continue. Also on this day in the year 2002, Newfound Glory's third and seminal mm-hmm. record, Sticks and Stones, with the bangers My Friend Over You and Head on Collision. Serving as the album singles. Head on collision, I've never seen the side of you. Another tragic case of feeling bruised and broken. Not head on collision, never seen the side of you.
Should
we move on? Oh.
This record definitely put drive-thru records on the map.
It was one of them, no question. Yeah. Was this their biggest thing? I mean,
I think it was because this was like a split between, I think, was it MCA maybe also?
Oh,
like,
wow.
It was a dual release.
Interesting.
Two different labels.
Yeah, because they were already, Newfound Glory had already been going a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, they've been on the scene for a while.
Right. Yeah, it's funny being a child wrapped up in that drive-thru record scene because it's like, you're telling me this sold more records than Census Fail? Ridiculous.
Bullshit.
Out of my range. I was listening to G-Unit at this time.
G-Unit.
You know, I'm glad that you bring that attitude and that perspective, though. You know,
I had no idea what this shit was, dude. Like, I never listened. I was listening to rap until I was almost out of high school.
That's funny because I definitely avoided listening to rap. I think just to also avoid any conversations with my Nazi father.
Big Seether fan.
Huge Seether fan. But anyway,
I really meant to say.
I wish I knew what that song was so I could continue singing.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I know your dad fucking
knows
the words to that song. Yeah. Sings it in his sleep.
He probably now listens to mostly that band from American History X. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember
that
American
hardcore,
History X?
Yeah.
At the end when they go to the party?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Put your teeth on the curb. Right? I just gave everybody that visual again. Congratulations. You're welcome.
Nobody He's going to drop that.
No, I'm not doing
okay,
that.
Good.
Yeah,
thank
we're
you.
Definitely not putting that. That's not going to be a you're just going to let your memory do the job
good,
there.
Good,
and if you haven't seen it, you're not going to relive it. Yeah,
don't.
Because honestly, it's not. Actually, I don't know if I want to discourage watching that.
Yeah,
because I want to say
no.
It's not that great. But, I mean, right now it might be just enough for somebody, if they watched it, to just stop being an asshole.
Yeah.
So,
it's the prequel to T2.
Edward Furlong, dude.
Whoa.
John Connor's in it.
I didn't know that, you know? He said T2. And,
captivated.
Okay.
Action.
On this day in TV and film history, on this day in 1982, E.T. was released. The extraterrestrial. Phone home.
Phone home.
Hello. Shout out Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
That's really all I got from that movie.
Yeah.
And Coors.
Oh, Coors. And
I think he drinks beers that are Coors. And
nice.
And Reese's Pieces. And also wood paneling. No, I hate when people say it, okay? I'm not going to lie to you.
Reese's Pieces.
We were going to get over it.
Yeah. No, but it is definitely Reese's Pieces.
Oh, I just see you backing into a parking spot, just chugging Reese's Pieces.
You eating Reese's Pieces? Like, you piece of shit!
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me walking through the parking lot and there's a guy backing into a parking spot and he's kind of like...
He's having a good Sunday.
He's looking out his window, like, you know, like looking back because he's always doing the parking thing and just he just kind of drops a few out. Hey, you dropped your Reese's Pieces there. Oh, no, I got plenty of Reese's Pieces. Fuck you! Fuck you!
Yeah, it's...
I knew it from the moment you backed in.
Not Pieces.
Yeah, the moment you stopped for some reason in the middle of the driveway here, no one else knows why. Oh, there's the lights. Better back my car up, because how am I supposed to know he's backing up? I'm too close to him. Now I got to give him room to back into this stupid spot. Taking everybody's time. Not you, Mike.
I know.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh,
I
love it.
I thought I'd yell at least once really loud this week.
Yeah, we needed it.
I hope Will's at work. I apologize, Will.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
William. I don't have a dedicated segment this week. I should bring it back of what William heard me scream from the basement. Can I think of one? No, I got to write them down. I forget everything. I got a pen right here. I got a cactus.
I love the cacti.
Thanks. I need to write it next to the cactus. Maybe I'll get a picture of the cactus. I'll put it on the vid.
Nice.
All right.
Good day for movies.
I know. Let's. Thank you, James. Getting us back on track. Released on this day in 1986. Shout out George Surratt. Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande. I'm not saying that correct because I ain't firm.
Uh-huh.
I ain't a frog. That's so racist. I should stop. I should Parisian revelry as Conor Oberst says. Let's celebrate. 1986. Ferris Bueller's Day Off was released.
Yay.
And if you didn't get the reference. The pointillist painting that they all look at the Chicago Institute of something art.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the place is called, bro. But yeah, they look at that painting. It gets closer and closer, and it's like, oh, it's the little dots. It's George Surratt. There's a whole musical about it. Do we have time? No, okay. I could put it on, but we don't have time. On this day in 1993, whoa!
Wowzers.
Are you whoa. Do y'all remember going to the movies and seeing Jurassic Park? Woo!
No. I do remember seeing it at my aunt's house, though.
That's the thing, is like, I do remember seeing this.
Yeah.
So that has to be like a first flash of a memory. Like
that's
one
wild.
Of my first.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I had to be like 3 years old, yeah. Dog. So, yeah, but, you know, I remember seeing The Lost World a lot.
Oh, 97, dude.
More vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, what a good time. My grandmother, just me and her in the movie theaters. It was like noon.
Dope. You know?
I think there were like maybe two other people, but it was very empty. It was very, very empty. It was awesome. She took me to a lot of movies.
That's awesome.
And then she'd take me bowling. You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck it. Back when bowling was cheap.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Man, that's the thing is, you know, I don't know if that's how you should raise a kid, but it sounds fun, right?
Yeah.
Because that's all I ever want to do, by the way, is I just want to wake up and kind of meander, maybe watch a movie, and then, like, yeah, go bowling.
Go bowling.
I'll play pickleball with you. Same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Same, same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, unfortunately, that's what I was taught the world was.
Yeah.
Just, like, feeling good and treating people all right.
What a beautiful fucking world, man.
And then having, like, a hot dog, you know?
I fucking love hot dogs so much. I'm actually really excited about going to that baseball game tomorrow.
Yes.
For
yeah. That'll be interesting. I do want to hear a review on the Rockies dogs.
Mm, I'm going to have a couple.
Yeah, no, you got to have at least two. You're absolutely right. I've actually got some dogs in the fridge. I'm going to cook them up.
Nice.
I had an urge the other night, so that's actually left over from earlier in the week.
Nice.
But enjoy a hot dog, yeah. guys. Is this funny? on this day in 1999. Dang it, man. Yeah, this dude. Is a great, yeah. great day. Yeah. Great day. Great week, I mean, in general for movies. 1999, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, dude. Yeah, and seriously, shout out. I was reminded by the internet, and I shared it with these fellas via our text group chat. Yeah. Text thread, group chat, whatever. Austin Powers is a champion of consent.
Yeah.
Even if, because honestly, in that scene, no knock on Elizabeth mm-hmm. Hurley's mm-hmm. acting range, mm-hmm. she wasn't that drunk. I mean, she wasn't acting that
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah, right, right.
But that's the point, Austin. You don't know.
Yeah.
And it could be one or two. And unless that's your wife or your girlfriend, and you've already done that stuff, and she's already said, like, hey, I'm going to have a couple, but then you need to do some stuff to me later.
Yes.
Unless you've had that convo and that's happened, he made the right choice. Mm-hmm. He said, I get it, y'all, but guess what? You'll be here tomorrow.
Y'all.
Yeah, that's how he said it. Can you imagine? that's the new version of Austin yeah. Powers is like an effeminate but very like sexualized man from the South. Like, ooh, I smell pussy.
Ooh, y'all smell that? Pussy.
Girl, smells like cooch in here.
Ooh, whose bus is popping?
Who is drip-drapping? I love it.
But, like, at the same time, he's all about consent.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a fun movie, actually.
That would be a lot of fun.
No, that's what... That's
now sign here.
Yeah. I do have documents. Do we need to take it that far? but anyway... yes, so Austin Powers, a champion of consent, a fantastic – really, when you think about it, he knew that 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old me, whatever, mm-hmm. was going to get his hands on this shit.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to put, drunken, taking advantage yep. of borderline what's happening consent. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to muddy those lines at all. So thank you, Mr. Myers.
Yeah. Nailed it, bud.
Yeah. I really do appreciate that influence as a child. Mm-hmm. Wholesome in a weird way.
Yeah, honestly.
It says, like, hey, we don't need to be prudes, but at the same time, why don't you go ahead and
right.
just be a little mindful, thoughtful, and not a psychopath. All right, moving on. Did we get enough? Okay, on this day in the year 2002, American Idol debuts.
Oh, that's right.
At least the first time, because it yep. was canceled for like 1 year, and then they brought it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because oddly enough, I only kind of know that or, like, that sticks out to me because whenever I was the second premiere, the second coming of American Idol happened whenever I was living in an Airbnb for 3 months with a stranger who was like, new American Idol tonight. I'm like,
and you were like, please don't wear my skin.
You know,
please don't murder me.
He was a super nice guy, and I will say I was doing a lot of drinking at that point. So, anything, I need to say, I'm sorry.
I would love to watch the new American Idol with you.
Bro, there's definitely some moments in that 3 month span that maybe I'll share at some point, and it'll be funny, but right now it'd just be sad. So, we're just going to move on. On this day... Where are we? On this day, oh my God!
Yeah, dude, I know.
On this day in the year 2004, man, what a banger.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite is released. You got to thank those Mormons for something.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people who, the Hesses are Mormons.
They still actually practice, do you know?
I don't know, yeah. you know, and I don't want to be disappointed, so I haven't Googled it.
Yeah.
And y'all know what that means for me. At least if you've ever listened to this. Anyway, no, you know, so I saw the Phoenician scheme. I guess I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know? I saw that on Thursday. It's fantastic. I love it. It's great. You know, I mean, okay, I'm not going to take too much time on this because mm-hmm. I just don't want it because I could talk about it forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, early Wes Anderson. If we're just talking about like the emotions of his script, mm-hmm. the plots of his script, the characters of his script. He used to be a lot more like kind of dramatic, you know, like a little angstier, you know.
Sure.
And so I always, when I hear, this is the second part of it, when I hear like, oh, Wes Anderson's movies are just so Wes Anderson. Well, I mean, the Hess movies are very Hess
sure.
movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really why I wanted to bring this up, is because like what I love about Napoleon Dynamite is like it was a movie that said like we have a style. We have an
yeah.
approach. We are making these specific choices, and that doesn't just involve the visuals. It's the acting. It's the script. It's everything. It's the characters. And yeah, I guess going back to Wes Anderson real quick though, I think his latest stuff incorporates kind of the whimsy that he got to start experimenting with in his movies, with like the animated movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And he uses a lot of miniatures still,
yeah.
even in his live
action
stuff.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. But I'm just saying, like, I think he's gotten to the point where he's not an angsty kid. He's not even an angsty 20-year-old. He's not an angsty 30-year-old. He's married. He has a child. You know what I mean? He's in his 50s. He's very comfortable. He lives in France. So he's making fun movies with his style. I just don't understand the criticism of like, oh, it's too Wes Anderson. But at the same time, I don't understand like if people criticize like, are the movies not serious enough or something? I mean, they dip into. There are moments of sincerity and emotion. It's just not played in a way that I think people find natural. But it's a stylized movie, and that's what the Hess brothers do. That's what Napoleon Dynamite was, and I love it. Even now, going back and rewatching, it's so much fun. Just because everything is a choice, the music is perfect for it, everything. But let's go ahead and do a couple birthdays. We have only a minute to do these B-days.
Plenty of time.
Absolutely shout out, Born on this Day, Now Dead, Gene Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Willy Wonka himself, love him to death. That's definitely a Thanksgiving tradition for me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I always watch the old Willy Wonka because they used to run it as like a marathon on Thanksgiving on like TNT
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
TBS. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, speaking of Wes Anderson, we also have to say Born on this Day, Now Dead, Jacques Cousteau, inspiration for Life Aquatic.
Oh, cool. Oh, right.
Yeah,
I forgot
Cousteau.
About that. Yeah. I actually, that's the one I was planning on watching tonight.
Oh, nice,
time.
Nice.
I don't know.
May
that
I just
time.
Interject for one moment?
Yes.
I have something here that I'd like to bring to your attention, Wes.
Okay, let's take the time.
Okay. So a plinth, P-L-I-N-T-H, a heavy base supporting a statue or vase.
Plinth.
Suck my balls.
Suck my balls.
You're going to have to send me a link.
I texted it to you.
Ooh, turning 80, Adrian Barbeau.
Adrian Barbeau.
Just, I'm going to need you to stay calm, so you're going to have to look that up later.
Yeah, okay.
All right, bye, guys.
Adios. Bye.